Even in this afternoon, the Lord is worthy that we bow before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be gathered once again. And Lord, as here in the area that we live, we experience the seasons change. And help us and teach us, Father, that you are the God of the sunny days, the cloudy days, the joy and the pain. And throughout all of our life seasons, Father, help us see that you are truly good. So in this afternoon, we pray that you would inspire, Father, that your Spirit would run through us, that would speak through us, that each one of us, Lord, would be ministers of this precious gospel, that would shine the light of Jesus Christ, and that others would see that seasons change, but, oh God, you never change. You are always good. You are always faithful. And, Father, we look for a day where we won't need seasons, but we will be perpetually rejoicing, praising you, basking in the joy of your glory, Father, for all that have professed faith and died to self and called upon the name of Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for who you are, for your majesty and your greatness. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, and I would like to simply read just two verses in Jeremiah 17. It's page number 841 in the Pew Bible. Jeremiah 17, if we could read together verses 7 and 8. This concept that the Bible supports of humanity as a tree. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The Bible, being a miraculous book that we believe is alive and offering the nourishment and the sustaining of our life, specifically our spiritual life, offers many narratives for us to pull from and to compare to. I'm so thankful for this biblical narrative. I don't want to call it a story because it's real, but this biblical concept of humans being like trees. And one can't deny the amount of imagery, this has been on my heart for a few weeks, about the Bible wanting to show us that us being visual, that when we see a tree, we should think of ourselves. Please don't misunderstand. I don't mean to worship the creation. We should always point to the Creator, not any part of the creation. But because we as humans were so visual, there's a biblical narrative that humans are like trees. And that story and that concept is rooted very much in Scripture. So much so that really trees provide a whole framework of the biblical narrative. Genesis 1:11 talks about God creating a tree and then creating seed inside the tree for perpetual proliferation. Very much like humans, we're able to proliferate, we're able to procreate, similar to a tree in the sense that there's many of us and we can grow and generations go on to generations. And as time goes on, we multiply. Isaiah 11 talks about the prophecy of Jesus coming as a branch of Jesse. There's an incredible word picture of or dream of Nebuchadnezzar that he has in Daniel 4, that Daniel's task was to decipher that dream. And actually, I'd like to read it. It's pretty incredible in its own right. And Daniel's ability to decipher the dream shows an imagery of a man being like a tree. Daniel chapter 4, verse 10. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs. The bough is a trunk or a large branch that reaches out, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven and cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. And this was a prophecy that Nebuchadnezzar would be cut down at the stump. There'd still be left there, but he would go out and eat grass like a beast. But we see this imagery of a man being like a tree. And if we put ourselves back in ancient times and we think about the agrarian lifestyle that they had, living in the wilderness or expanse, a desert, a tree would be something that was incredibly valuable. It would offer shade in the desert from the sun. It would be probably a place where water would be, maybe an oasis. It would provide nourishment and nutrients. Other animals would find solace under that tree. And the idea that we, in a sense, should be that same way is a biblical teaching. Ezekiel 31 talks about a sycamore tree being a prophecy against Egypt, of it being cut down. Its great expanse, it's growing up tall and strong that others would see. And then God coming and hewing it down. Bible speaks about faith as small as a mustard seed. And Christ cursing the fig tree, the tree that doesn't bear fruit. Galatians 5 speaks so much about the fruit of the Spirit. We're all very familiar with that. And our similarities that we have with trees in its perpetual ability of producing seed, its breath, the fact that trees breathe in CO2 and expel out oxygen, we have a symbiotic relationship with them. They require water. We're made up so much of that, and both need incredible amount of nutrients. Trees offer fruit, and they experience seasons. They can be grafted. And my brother and sister, how thankful are we that we also have the opportunity to be grafted into the family of God. They require a strong foundation. A foundation with deep roots. So if we think about that strong foundation and the roots of our existence, if you want to turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is how the imagery of a tree, of the rooting, the deep rooting of our faith, Scriptures encourages us to be. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, the warning is that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where do I get my nourishment from? You see, as roots are deep in the ground, we can't see the roots of the tree. And you nor I can't see necessarily where you or I get our nourishment from. But the evidence is in our fruit. And if you have, generally in July, we have some pretty good storms that come through and strong winds. And many times you'll see probably most likely a spruce tree or a silver maple. Their roots aren't very deep. And they spread out pretty far. They're actually not very good to plant next to your driveways because their roots stay shallow. And they don't grab the deepness and the meat, the strength of the soil. And so it grows up to be a beautiful tree. And not much different than what we'll talk about in the parable of the sower. But it's fine when it's sunny outside. And it's fine in the morning when the birds are chirping and the dew is on its leaves and it's getting its rain and nourishment through that method. But what happens when the rain comes and when the thunder strikes and when the winds blow? Those roots aren't strong enough. They are not deep enough to grasp the rock. And that's the imagery that Scripture is talking to us about. That humans stand up like a tree. We have arms and branches similar to a tree. We love the sunlight. We get energy and nutrients from that. But those are all well and good. However, if you're not rooted in the Word, if we're not planted by the rivers of water, the Bible says the ungodly are so here in Psalms. When the winds come and the tornadoes blow, we end up uprooted. Like a tree that doesn't have a strong, deep root system. Christ talks about the parable of the sower, about the seed that's scattered, some by the wayside, others on stony ground, and that's the analogy we just spoke about. And others around thorns, that its environment, where it was planted, was not a healthy environment and ended up getting choked out. And that root system offers that nutrients, that our nutrients should come solely from the Word. As winter's upon us, most of the trees have shed their leaves, and we all go through those types of seasons. Some of you are in a season of just newly being married, and the joy and the maybe spontaneity that brings, and the hope of what life would have, what God's plan for you would be together. Others have a home that's pretty noisy with little feet running around and things breaking here and there. Not much sleep, but that's a season that you're in. I remember those times. Our family, we're in the season of the teen years. It has its own joys and challenges, and some of you may be empty nesters, and the dinner table is a little bit more quiet. And some of you are in the end season. The season where you may be closer to what we prayed about earlier, seeing your Savior's face. God takes humanity through seasons, but he wants us to know that through every season, that he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like when his child was a baby. He knows what it was like when each one of us were conceived and were born and went through all of our trials as we each one grew up in our lives, just like a little sapling. That little sapling needs water. That little sapling needs nutrients. And at that delicate stage, that sapling needs protection from the storms of life. God is saying that he is the one that authors that. And here we can read in Daniel 2. Daniel 2, verse 21. Actually, let's read the verse previously. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And here Daniel talks about who is the one that orchestrates all of these changing of the seasons. And who is the one that is with you and me during our seasons of change. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. As we grow and as we develop, young or old, God's desire is for us to rely on him through the seasons that we experience. Because there's nothing that we're going to experience that God doesn't have a solace for, or a balm for, or a solution for. And though we may not know, similar to what we read in Jeremiah, that tree didn't know that the drought was coming. That tree didn't know what was coming ahead. But what did it say? Actually, I'd love to read it again. Jeremiah 17. Apologize, going back and forth. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. You don't know when the drought is coming. That tree has no idea. But because that tree is rooted and planted by the waters, and she spreadeth out her roots by the river, what shall happen? Her leaf shall be green. Though the storms come, though the storms rage, and we don't know what's ahead of us, we don't know even how long we have, the root shall be green. Why? Because our reliance, our nutrients, our root system is deep in the knowledge and the truths of God. It's deep in faith. I love this too. And shall not be careful in the year of drought. Not that there's carelessness here, but it's an idea that we don't know when that drought is coming. That tree doesn't know when the drought is coming. We don't know if it's going to be a bountiful year or a drought year. What will be the result? That tree must be doomed, right? No. It says the tree that is rooted by the water, it's rooted by the word, rooted in faith, shall not cease from yielding fruit. Can you believe that? That tree shall not cease from yielding fruit. This isn't a maybe. This is a promise. And if we are to be like trees, planted and rooted and bearing fruit and growing up tall and having branches and being a balm and a help for others, rooted in faith, my brother and sister, how can we not yield fruit? You turn with me to the Gospel of John, John 15. Jesus gives another tree analogy. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. He pruneth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And here is the challenge. Here is the call. Here is the plea that Jesus is pressing on us. He's pressing on us hard here, saying, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. There's only one way to bring forth fruit, is to be grafted in the vine, is to be grafted in the bough. Remember that long branch, the long central trunk, be grafted into that bough. And he makes a declarative statement here. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Can you imagine that branch just lying there on the ground without being grafted into anything? That branch will die. And that's the analogy Jesus is saying. He's saying that you are grafted into me, and then through that grafting, I'm going to nourish you. You will get your sustenance through me. This is where the Bible points to Jesus is our everything. It's all about Christ. And we read it in the Old Testament. Those tree analogies pointing to Jesus. Is it any wonder that we'll read in 1 Peter about the cross and that he was crucified upon a tree? We can't escape the analogy. But it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful when you walk through a forest or you take a hike. And you feel that the presence of the Lord in his creation. Don't give glory to the creation. Give glory to the Creator who formed the creation with his hand. And with his mere words brought the concept that seed gets pollinated, brings forth fruit, falls to the ground, and grows more trees. How great our God is. If I think about it too hard, my head hurts. That's how incredible, how much love our God has for us. And that he puts that concept for us to see. because he knows we're visual. Imagine if this was just a concept that was just written down and didn't happen in reality. But he's saying, my son, my daughter, be like a tree planted by the streams of water. And be grafted. Because in verse 6 here it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather him and cast him into the fire that they are burned. When you go camping in the woods, you don't grab a tree at first. You don't grab a branch from off of a tree that's already attached. It's too live. You grab the dead ones. The dead ones are the one that are good for kindling. And Christ is saying, don't be dead, my brother and sister. Don't be dead, my friend, outside of Christ. Be a branch that's full of flowers. Be a branch that's grafted in the bough of Christ that brings forth much fruit. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done with unto you. I love this verse, because it's a co-laboring together of God and man. A co-laboring, because when we're grafted in, both work together for the glory of God. Both us and Christ. This cohabitation, this union, this marital joinery that happens for the honor and glory of God. If we're thinking about fruit, and we're thinking about trees producing fruit, the tree doesn't eat the fruit that it produces, does it? Trees don't survive by the fruit that they produce. That same concept is for us, my brother and sister. The fruit that Galatians talks to us about, that Paul is spurning for us to develop and for us to provide, that's not for you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, that's not for you. Just as fruit, as you walk by a tree, is not for the tree. It's to spread the gospel. It's for the proliferation of the word of God to spread. That we all would be a forest, a gospel forest of trees. That others would see that there is this large group of God's people populating the earth like a forest. Full of joy, full of peace, full of long-suffering, full of gentleness, kindness, meekness. That's what fruit is for. And I'd also encourage my brother and sister that after our conversion, even our baptism here, our public testimony, everything else we do is not for ourselves. It's for others. Even that testimony. That baptismal testimony, right? That baptismal testimony, yes, we recognize and we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's as a witness. It's for others to see. It's for others to see the work that God has done in our lives. Otherwise, it would just be the elder and you and me, whoever would. Get baptized. It's for others. It's to show the love of God. It's to give the testimony of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful testimony we heard this morning. Of Apostle Paul ripping out everything that he, ripping the band-aid off of his whole culture and his life before he met Jesus Christ. And hating who he is, who he was. What a testimony. That testimony wasn't for him. That was for Festus. The testimony was for Agrippa. Why? So he could be persuaded. We baptize so everybody could see. Why? So others can be persuaded. So others would be convinced that this way is not some way that we've conjured up in our own minds. But this way is a way of the Master. This way is a way that's rooted in this biblical narrative of this scripture that points to Jesus Christ. That is the way. And that is the fruit for others to see. Because if others are taking of the fruit, that fruit is what the tree represents. Apple tree will give forth apples. Orange tree will give forth oranges. Bible is calling us to bring forth good fruit. That we would be well representatives, ambassadors of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And part of that testimony is the importance of a church. The importance that each one of us, although being individual, are part of a collective. Did you know that trees can communicate with each other through a fungus in its roots? They share carbon and oxygen. Tell me there's no God. Tell me there's no God that even nature itself can communicate underground with each other in a forest. How beautiful. How beautiful. And what an analogy. Further picturing that when you look at a tree, think of yourself. Think of myself. Am I standing tall? Am I rooted where I should be rooted? Is my fruit bringing forth fruit that others will want to take of? Or is it bitter? In the fall, when you go apple picking, you could have a fruit that's an apple that's shiny, big and luscious. Take a bite into it, and it's brown. God's calling us to have fruit. Fruit meat for repentance. To spread the gospel. Isaiah 61 talks about this as well. Isaiah 61, verse 3. Actually, let's read verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The oil of mourning. See, this portion of Scripture talks about being a comforter. One to another, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to call those to repentance. Even in the first verse, it talks that he has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is the importance of a church. The importance of a church and a community for us to be as a forest of trees for the Lord. Why? So we may be an example to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty unto the captives, that we would be a unified group, unified in Christ, one faith, that we would be able to proclaim liberty to those that are captive. If you take a trip out west, if you drive out there, right before you get to the Rocky Mountains, it's pretty flat up until the Rocky Mountains, but the whole area is pretty brown. And though that portion of creation that God has created has its own beauty, there's something that people from Colorado say when they come out east in the spring and summer. Boy, it's green. Boy, it's green. And you can't help but have that bring a little joy. In conclusion, let us be similar to that analogy, that we would be fully nutritious in the Word, that we may be fully rooted and grounded in the teachings of Jesus Christ, that we would be in the Scripture, that it would run through and exude out of us as greenery in the summer. That we would be seen from a mile away. Not that we individually are in and of ourselves anything, but it's what this Scripture's nutrients provides, what it produces, and the fruit that comes. So may God give us the grace to continue in this, and the reminder that when we see a tree, God's saying, think of yourself. And let it be a reminder that make sure that we're planted, rooted, and fruited. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word.
The question I think that we can all ask ourselves today is, in whom is our hope? And I believe that we all will say, my hope is in God. It's in the Lord. And yet, is our life lived that our hope is in Him? Because we sang the hymn here that He is my hope forever nigh. In Him alone I live. In Him alone I live. And in Him alone I die. And so if He is our hope, as we have read here, whose hope is the Lord is, then blessed is that man. And the blessings that the Lord outpours, He tells us, He plants us by the rivers. The rivers and the waters are always speak of abundance. So the Lord plants us a place of abundance where there is no drought, there is no need. Our hope is in Him. The verses prior to these verses that we have read speak of the one who puts his trust in a man. He says, cursed is that man. Now we know I believe this morning in the prayer we heard that the earth is cursed. The curse came when man sinned. And the curse is, we see it all around us all the time. We see things die. We bury things. We see brokenness. We see sorrow, and those are the curse. That's the curse. And so he says, the man who puts his trust in another man is cursed. There's death that is certain for that man. He says, he will be planted. He shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. There's no water. There's nothing there. There's no abundance. There's nothing. The one who puts his trust in a man. So we have to really ask ourselves, what is our hope in? What is our trust in? Do we really live in Him? As we sang that hymn, you know, He is my hope forever and ever. We know that the Apostle Paul, in writing the 13th chapter, he speaks of faith and he speaks of hope and he speaks of charity, of love. And, you know, does our faith take us to that hope that we have in Christ, that we have no fear of death? We see even in this hymn again that we sang, that in him, in his wounds, for by his wounds I shall inherit his righteousness, which is my glorious dress. We have to put our hope in him and our trust in him to be able to be planted in an abundance of his blessings. The man who puts his trust in another man or in things, you know, say, well, it might not be another man, but if we live a life as one that God is not my anchor in everything, then ultimately we're having our hope in a man. It could be ourselves. But, you know, let's think about when we die. What man do we ever approach to for some kind of a hope in after this life is over? What's going to happen? Like, what can a man do for you? Man's going to die just like us. So where is our hope? In the one who is eternal, the one who plants us in by the abundance of rivers and water. We will never be thirsty. He is everything to us. He is my hope. In him alone I live and die. May that be our cry this day forward. Amen.